This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on November 10th, 2015. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Item seven, and I'm sorry if I apologize that we found this out later yesterday and I did not communicate it to staff. I apologize. Item seven is several matters relating to public disclosure. Mr. Calvert.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
If I might, it is in fact being held over the last matter, the multi-state IEs.
Yes.
But just to let the public know, I spoke with Commissioner Weintraub yesterday and she requested more time to consider. And so it's still a possibility. My understanding is it's still a possibility that we might be able to have a deal on this. I just wanted the public to know.
I hope so.
Okay. I just want the public to know that and that my colleagues asked for more time to think about it, which is perfectly fine with me. I think the three Republicans still stand ready, just so the public knows, to support the interpretive rule, but willing to take some more time to talk to our colleagues. And we also said it's at least possible that we could vote on this in a tally vote before the next public meeting. Nobody's holding anyone to that, but that is, I believe, our shared goal.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. All right. Is there a presentation?
Well, Madam Chair, this is my document.
Right. Well, there's several documents.
Oh, which one?
Your document.
If we start on agenda document number.
We can start with your document.
I would draw the commission's attention to agenda document number 15-27-A-1, which is the operative document. Here you go. You need it. And it started, I believe, as 15-27-A, and it has been on the agenda for a long time, and it has gone through a fair amount of discussion over several months. What I have tried to pull together in agenda document number 15-27-A-1 is pieces of my original proposal to make more enforcement documents public on the public file when we make MER enforcement files public at the close of the matter. The commission decided in 2003 to make many documents public as a matter of course. And in the decision of 2003 to make many documents public as a matter of course, the commission waived its discretionary privileges in a lot of those documents. So, for example, the first general counsel's report, the commission decided to make that public as a matter of course. It does waive arguably attorney-client privilege as well as the deliberative process privilege. But the commission decided to put those on the public record. I am proposing that we amend that policy by adding to the documents that we place on the public record as a matter of course certain records. All of the records that currently are placed on the public record under the 2003 policy, as well as the additional documents reflected in this document, are subject to redaction for Privacy Act requirements, Federal Election Campaign Act confidentiality requirements. Anything that is legally required to be confidential, we still maintain the confidences of that. So what this proposal does is it merely adds to the public record additional documents that I believe are would be appropriate, add to the public's understanding of those MRF files. And the chair requested, and the Office of General Counsel provided on August 5th, 2015, agenda document number 15-27-B, which was a reaction to the original proposal of this. I have reviewed that, and I have made edits to this document reflective of those comments, not that we agreed on every item, but we can discuss those points where we still may disagree or disagree, not disagree, but the I don't agree with the recommendation. And the other, so that's the genesis of one set of the changes that you see in agenda document number 15-27-8-1. Yesterday, my office distributed for commissioners' purposes a redline version so you could actually see the track changes. Additionally, I have altered in agenda document number 15-27-8-1, this revised version, several issues regarding FOIA process. So this amended document does not recommend any changes in the Commission's currently adopted policies regarding fulfillment of FOIA requests. Whatever that policy currently is, it is. I don't suggest any changes in that. So, for example, I took out Commission-approved redactions and affirmative invocations because I know that who invokes privilege here, who asserts privilege, is a point of some disagreement among commissioners, and so I don't alter those policies. We can have that discussion another day, but I'm not carrying the water in this document. I tried to narrow this document solely to address the addition of certain records. Now, what those records are. Under the bullets that you see, first, attachments to complaints, responses to complaints, and referrals, which the Commission votes to open as a matter under review. If the Commission adopts and opens a matter under review, we should treat those records like we do any other MRR or complaint that comes in the door. Notifications to respondents that were previously identified as unknown respondents. Seems to me that's like providing the public what we already provide, which is the names of who are the subjects of our enforcement MRRs. There is correspondence that goes forth either at the pre-RTB stage or thereafter, and there are supplemental materials provided by the Office of General Counsel that really supplement those matters that we currently make public. We currently make public the General Counsel's first General Counsel report. So if the first General Counsel's report is going to be supplemented in some way with a subsequent memorandum, this proposal is, let's make that public as well with the first General Counsel's report, especially since the Commission is considering all of that information when it makes its determinations. Correspondence that goes back and forth that supplements responses, for example. And then two items that the Office of General Counsel recommended, I believe, not for any real philosophical reason, but because it might clutter the file. There are a lot of administrative documents in these MRR files that I agree don't have to be made public. Two that I thought actually edify the public record and public's understanding of a case would be complaint notification letters to respondents. A complaint walks in the door, it names one respondent. The Commission has a practice of adding respondents in the process. It helps you understand how people got in the case if you can see the notification letters to those respondents. And the second is tolling agreements. Why do some cases go longer? I think tolling agreements help edify the public's understanding of a case. We sometimes abate a case if another agency is looking, for example, at a case. We get tolling agreements often in that process. I believe that as a user of the MRR files, it would have benefited me in some files to understand how and why cases took as long as they did, and tolling agreements help inform that judgment. Then comes the issue of FLAs, which most commissioners here have historically had the liberty to release. Now, the Office of General Counsel says they're agnostic on that. If this commission wants to allow FLAs that are voted on but not adopted to be made public, the way I've just suggested that we amend this is not, you don't have to make all of those FLAs. The General Counsel's office said that putting too many FLAs that fail on the record could actually be confusing. So, heeding that, what I recommend is if a commissioner believes that a failed FLA helps explain their ultimate vote for or against the final FLA, a commissioner ought to be able to clarify the record by making public the FLA that they voted on that failed. And this commission has a long history of doing that. I believe Commissioner Walther has done it. Commissioner Weintraub has done it. I tried to do it earlier this year. I was blocked by the Office of General Counsel, and then the commission agreed that I had that right to do that. But it took an act of the commission in order just to show the public the FLA that I had voted on, which explained my ultimate vote. The remainder of the edits you see here were to remove any implication for our FOIA processes and just to say, look, henceforth, this will be the policy. We will be adding these documents to public records. Because we are providing these as a matter of course, looking retrospectively at old files, if we get a FOIA request, we're going to treat those files equally and make these documents available there to FOIA. We're not going to go through a long set of hoops of jumping through the assertion of privileges and what have you. We're just going to, as a matter of policy, treat those the same. So this is my proposal where I think the sweet spot is to expand the public's understanding of open MERS that are opened here and actual enforcement cases. That's my proposal, and I'd be happy to defer to Mr. Calvert for any reaction to that.
Can I ask you some questions first?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you want to respond first? No. Okay. Down in your listing of matters that you propose being provided.
Yes, records, yes.
When you speak about documents prepared by OGC, are you including but not limited to, and you've got examples, what documents are you referring to? Every possible document that was...
I gave examples.
I know you have examples.
Hold on.
Unlimited.
Yes, well, the one that I withdrew, because we've had a disagreement on the commission, was withdrawn counsel's reports. Now, there's litigation about that right now. We don't have to decide that issue now. Maybe a federal court will decide it for us. I don't know all the factors a court may adopt to decide whether or not the document needs to be made public. I assume that there will also be litigation in the Crossroads case as well, where Crossroads itself, since they're intervening, will ask for that document if they haven't already. I haven't followed that, how far along it is, to be part of the administrative record that affects them. And so I have struck that. And I know that certain commissioners expressed concern about it, so I was trying to accommodate.
Well, you struck it as an example, but you didn't strike it in the text because you say documents. I presume it's all documents because you don't narrow it in any way.
Here's the
I'm just asking you what your.
No, you are. I'm trying to answer.
Okay. Well, let me just continue, because you say including but not limited to, and then you
that was part of your question, and I understood that. Yes.
Right.
So let me tell you the spirit of it, and we can certainly wordsmith this.
Okay.
But where the Office of General Counsel, and by the way, the in connection with a specific matter under review is new language here, I picked that up from Office of General Counsel's memo to make it more specific. It's not just every memorandum that comes from the Office of General Counsel. It's in connection with a specific matter.
Correct.
And considered or discussed by the commission, there is a parameter, as part of its deliberative process. Here is the spirit of this request. The Office of General Counsel's first general counsel's report apprises us of the case, the facts, the legal theories, And yet we often obtain from Office of General Counsel supplements to that. They should be given the same treatment as the first general counsel's report if they are summarizing or discussing new factual information and or analyzing applicable law, just like the first general counsel's report did. Now, the reason this is required is because what we currently make public under the 2003 policy is only such documents if they make a recommendation as to commission action. But if documents and memos come from the Office of General Counsel that supplement the first general counsel's report, bring us, then we should treat that the same. It shouldn't be a document held in a star chamber and hidden away where we all considered it just like we did the first general counsel's report.
No one is contemplating a star chamber here. I think for myself in this, it's so broad that I would prefer if we could to look at an enumeration of those documents so that we're clear about what we're talking about. I don't want to be in a situation later. I mean, I'll get to it, but I, as you know, feel very strongly about attorney-client privilege documents and other documents that will conform to the other privileges that we should, as a commission, be able to vote on and decide. So I don't want to be in a situation of relinquishing something that I would be concerned about without having an affirmative vote of the commission. And for that reason, I don't want in this document for us to relinquish any of those rights and obligations.
Okay. So that's, Madam Chair, I'm willing to make an amendment right now.
Okay.
Okay?
Well,
I'll make an amendment in response because I know that you also speak highly about transparency.
I do. I care about transparency.
So I know you do.
And
so let me help you be more transparent. So what I propose is let me see if I'm working off the blue document so that I... Strike everything to the word memoranda, but keep the word memoranda, and let's make memoranda summarizing or discussing new factual information and or memoranda analyzing applicable law, whether or not these documents contain any of the recommendations described in the interim disclosure policy. And I would pick up the limiting concept that Mr. Calvert's memo did, with respect to a specific matter under review.
Okay, so you start.
So I would
memoranda.
Start with a memoranda with respect to a specific matter under review, summarizing or discussing new factual information and or memoranda analyzing applicable law, whether or not these documents contain any of the recommendations described in the interim disclosure policy. And that takes away the breadth you're concerned about. It captures the essence of what I was trying to get, where these memoranda essentially supplement the legal or factual analysis of a first general counsel's report. We should go ahead and make them public.
Okay. I have a couple of. Do you want to add to this one particular one? I have a couple more.
I have a broader question.
Okay. Well, let me ask just a couple more questions to get some, and then you can go for the broader question. I'm wondering about your statement about upon the request of any commissioner. Because from what I've seen, and maybe you could tell me if this is wrong, but what I've seen is that generally we vote and decide whether to release certain things.
That's not the historical practice.
And
the historical practice is that Commissioner Weintraub and Commissioner Walther and Commissioner Bowerly and the Republican commissioners have historically, as attached to their statements, the FLAs that they voted for, to show the public the significant material difference in the result.
Mm-hmm.
And the my God, there's a certified vote taken, and yet we're withholding from the public the substance of that vote. And I would say, if you're taking a vote on a factual and legal analysis with a legal theory, give the public the benefit of what the substance of that vote. We're certainly giving them the final FLA. So
I'm not asking for your rationale. I think I'm more concerned about what I've seen as the tradition here since I've been here, which is that on every matter we have a vote, and it's generally, if there's four commissioners that agree with something that has come to the table, then that...
I don't believe that vote has ever been held since you and I have been on this commission. The issue came up once. It was either late last year or earlier this year, Mr. Calvert, you'll recall. I believe it was the Crew case, if I recall correctly. Was it Crew?
I don't remember the case. I think it was earlier this year.
And there was an FLA vote, then the FLA failed. And the Office of General Counsel said I did not have the right to release the FLA, and we did not bring it to the table for a formal vote. We did a poll of commissioners, and there was a poll of commissioners. So we've never had that formal vote. Now, I cited at least three or four prior cases just in the last 5-6 years where commissioners had released, had attached, without any redaction or censorship from the Office of General Counsel. So, when your FLA is blacked out by the Office of General Counsel, you feel censored. You're not allowed to tell the public why you did what you did. And it's not a good feeling being censored. I played by the rules. By the way, I don't know what penalty there is if I had just gone to the press and released the FLA that I proposed and that I voted on. But I played by the rules. And I talked to everyone in the hallway, and commissioners agreed, go ahead, let Goodman release his FLA. Not everybody here plays by the rules in releasing documents that aren't public, I might say. But I have played by the rules and done that. And so what I'm proposing, let's clarify it. Let's give the public the benefit of FLAs that are voted on here and that fail. Let's not withhold that from the public.
Okay, let me ask you one more question before I turn to Commissioner Weintraub. You might have said this at the beginning, but I just want to clarify it to be sure. In the final, second to last paragraph, you say that this is, with respect to FOIA, that this is pursuant to the procedures set forth in Part 4 of the regulations. And, I apologize for my ignorance about this, but what are you contemplating by that? I mean, tell me what
our regulations.
No, I understand. Tell me what you're with regard to. Well, let me ask you, with regard to the process that we now have, where the Office of the Administrative Law Section of the Office of General Counsel makes some of these decisions. Is that something that you intend to change, or is by this?
This policy does not affect any current policy
That's just what I want to know.
Now, whether current practice conforms to Part 4, that's a debate that is in litigation, I think, right now against the commission by the Center for Competitive Politics and others. I reserve the right to debate that in the future.
I'm not asking. I'm asking what your intent is by this language.
But if you'd like, I will read you Part 4. We'd be here a while.
No, I don't want you to read me
Part 4. But Part 4 is our regulation on this subject, and I just referred to our regulations, which govern this issue.
Right. All right. Thank you. Commissioner Weintraub.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to ask Mr. Calvert, and I hope that he had a heads up that I was going to ask him this. OGC has come up with their own set of recommendations. I was prepared to support, and I am prepared to support their recommendations. So what I'd like to know is in what way OGC's recommendations differ from what Commissioner Goodman is proposing.
Thank you, Commissioner. I think that what we said in the memo we prepared originally for the Regulations Committee and Commissioner Goodman's current proposal are substantially closer to each other than they were to than our document was to his original document. There are some differences. Actually, if I might start, one I'm not sure is a difference that I might seek clarification on, and I think there is a difference in this.
Who's going to speak about number five?
At least one respect. On additional reports and memoranda, we understood Commissioner Goodman to be not including withdrawn GCRs in the ambit of that. And we appreciate your agreeing to hold that to the limiting of the in connection with a specific MER. Here at the one clarification and one difference. The clarification is that the discussion about that part of the proposal just a moment ago was about first general counsel's reports, and your pending motion would limit it to memorandum. What we had in mind in agreeing to, or in saying that we agreed in general with the proposal to make that considerably broader, was that we would propose that almost all general counsel's reports and memoranda be released to the public at the end of a of an enforcement matter, with appropriate redactions, of course, under this policy. It's not limited to memoranda, and it's not limited to first general counsel's reports. One of the things that has been sort of vexing, I think, to some of the staff is that where the commission has found RTB, and we undertake an investigation, and the staff does really good work and puts all of the investigation into a subsequent general counsel's report. But let's say it's not a brief, because we're then recommending entering into pre-probable cause conciliation. Well, whether or not, under the current practice, whether or not that report, which basically recounts the results of our investigation, is released or not, depends entirely on the nature of the recommendations at the end of the document, maybe recommendations that don't even have to do with the major focus of the investigation. So some of those reports go on under the current practice, and some of them do not, and really whether they do or do not doesn't have anything to do with what their substance is. And so our proposal would have encompassed bringing those in under this policy as well, and returning to putting those reports with appropriate redactions on, as we did prior to 2003.
You're saying your proposal is broader than mine?
In that respect. Actually, that was the clarification I was seeking, because you said the spirit of yours was supplemental memos to first general counsel.
I'm sorry, I wasn't just limited. I was, for example, since we deal with so many things at the reason to believe stage, that's a report that we regularly receive, and we do get supplements to them.
Yes.
Subject to appropriate redaction, law enforcement. You get information from other places sometimes that you don't want to put on the public record, and we understand that. But you're suggesting, does my language not reach what you're suggesting?
I think your language does, but I just wanted to clarify, since we're making a record here at the table.
Since we're creating a record, let me say that we're in agreement.
Okay.
I meant the broader universe of your memoranda.
Now the secretary.
So I think, Commissioner Goodman, the concern arises from the language here describes these documents as documents generated prior to a finding of reason to believe, whereas the counsel reports Mr. Calvert's discussing would be post RTB findings.
I'm corrected.
Just point me to where I limit it to pre RTB.
Is that good? My version has changed.
Oh, I dropped that language. I did. Okay. So I think we backed into it.
Okay. In your current proposal. But your current proposal did just mention memoranda.
It did.
And if you intend that to include reports as well as memoranda, that would be.
So in other words, your recommendation would encompass more to say, with respect to a specific matter under review, comma, reports and memoranda summarizing or discussing? Tell me what I'm leaving out. No,
reports and memoranda that are not withdrawn.
I took out withdrawn. Oh, okay. Excuse me. Yes. We can encompass that are not withdrawn.
And considered or discussed by the commission as part of its deliberative process.
Okay, and hold on, you're putting the language back in that I struck to try to accommodate the chair.
Could I interject something? Mm-hmm. I am going to at some point make a motion that we ask OGC to draft something for us. I would feel much more comfortable going down that route than editing your draft at the table and some of the language that I think might be construed, you know, despite your clarification at the table, it still could be read more broadly, and then we could end up in litigation over what it means. We adopt a policy, somebody wants a document, we say, oh, we didn't mean that. So I think we would be on safer ground having OGC do the drafting on this. I think there may well be substantial agreement on what we are willing to put out there. I think that what Mr. Calvert was just saying was goes to a concern that I've had about how we don't routinely release the subsequent general counsel's reports, and I think they would really add to the public record. So I only wanted to interject that because, you know, maybe I'll save you the trouble of sitting there and scribbling, yeah, because I think I would feel more comfortable asking them to draft.
I'm comfortable, mm-hmm, by the way, right now with them drafting something. I'm not going to surrender my draft if I disagree with theirs, and we may go 3-3 on how we on the drafts if we have dueling drafts. But assuming that assuming there's general agreement on these categories of records, and Office of General Counsel can think of a better way to word these, I'm certainly willing to entertain that. But I'd like to go ahead and air it all out today and let Mr. Calvert continue with his presentation.
We'd be happy to work on language that would encompass more than pre-RT, would encompass both reports and memoranda and post as well as pre-RTB reports.
Pre and post-RTB.
Yes.
I would suggest, if you're okay with this, Commissioner Goodman, really, that we ask the Office of General Counsel to come back with a draft of this that we can all hopefully consider prior to the next meeting.
We can, however, there are some more disagreements I think we need to get out on the table. For example, number 4 in the OGC memoranda. That's something I'm not going to agree to.
Where's number 4?
Page 4 of...
page 4.
Page 4 of the Office of General Counsel's memo dated August 5, 2015.
Okay. I just am very concerned about the time, given that we have a very long executive session this afternoon, and
been on the agenda for many months.
No, I know that, but we received your document yesterday in the middle of the day.
Actually, you received some slight amendments, very slight amendments to a document that's been on the agenda for months. I think Mr. Calvert can conclude the differences. They're not severe in about 5 minutes.
Not severe. I will try to wrap it up in about 5 minutes.
Yep.
Returning to the point we were discussing about reports that are put on, there is one difference there on that particular point, mm-hmm, between your proposal and ours. We had constructed ours to be restricted to reports or memoranda that we circulate formally through the Secretary's office. And the idea of that was to give us kind of an out, where if there is something that is in the context of a case that is so sensitive, and where we would strongly recommend that the Commission retain its privilege even after release of the file, that would be an easy way to designate those documents. I think what I had in mind, I'm not sure about others in the office, what I had in mind was a matter where there's a concurrent Justice Department investigation, for as a hypothetical, and maybe they even one where they've told us that that it's a particular sensitivity, and so that would be that would be sort of the out for stuff where we wanted to let you all know that it was, we thought it was certainly something at least the commission ought to consider before releasing and not put it into the box for automatic release. We'd still, if it was in the box for automatic release, I guess we could still put it out there with every page redacted.
That might be the way to go, because it may not be the end. Many of these memos come with pieces that are highly sensitive, and I presume that those would be redacted. I presume that we would redact some of the sensitive information that we sometimes direct the Office of General Counsel to get from the Department of Justice and those types of things. We've done that in the past. I think we're probably working on some of those right now. And so rather than create the exception to the rule that then grows from highly sensitive to anything we really don't want to put on the record, I think I would prefer to use the redaction process to deal with that. And that's why I saw it as an end around an otherwise transparency policy, and that's why I did not include it.
I would be happy to discuss the issues with any of the commissioners that want to discuss it at another time, not in a public forum. I think the basic issue here from the Office of General Counsel's perspective is the recognition that we are here varying from what would otherwise be the presumption of privilege. And so in making a uniform policy to release records, in fact, flips the presumption at the time the record is created that it would require the informed consent of a majority of the commission to waive that privilege. And we believe that in some cases it is worth affording counsel the ability to create privilege records, expecting that the presumption will be the privilege is maintained, as opposed to the opposite. So that was an effort to address that concern.
I was trying to avoid that whole issue. Because I'd have a fundamental disagreement with the Office of General Counsel on how many votes it takes to assert privilege versus waive privilege, and the federal case law that says an agency must affirmatively assert privilege. Documents are not inherently, they may be inherently confidential under a statutory provision of confidence, Privacy Act, what have you. We are prohibited by law from releasing them. But if it's a discretionary privilege, the document isn't inherently private. It takes an affirmative assertion. I wasn't trying to reach any of that today. So,
well, what I suggest is, if you aren't willing to let it go to General Counsel for a draft that can come back to us, and
I thought we would after many months of this being on the agenda, we would have an air out. We only have one more issue, right, Larry?
There are a couple.
There's number four, and then there's what, the tolling agreements, and
we have 26 items on the agenda this afternoon.
Okay.
26 items.
You know, Madam Chair, you've made transparency a major issue about this agency.
A major
and here's
issue.
Your opportunity
yes.
to work on a major transparency project.
Don't be giving me lectures on this. We have a lot of serious
issues an observation.
That we need to. I stand by my record on disclosure and transparency, and I have an item with regard to that too that I am prepared to support, but we have important other issues that we must attend to, including some that are statute of limitations imperiled, and it seems to me that a better use of our time would be to ask General Counsel to come back with another draft. You can express your views to them. Everyone can express their views to them, and it can come back, and we can decide in the next meeting whether we are going to vote on that. And that's what I'm going to suggest right now, that we do that. And as the chair, I have the ability to ask that it be held over for that purpose.
You can hold this matter, Madam Chair. Any commissioner can hold a matter.
That's right. To the next meeting, with the understanding that we can have discussions in between and hopefully resolve it at the next meeting, together with the other request that I asked about relating to other documents.
Madam Chair, I have an inquiry. If we approve Office of General Counsel writing a new draft, will Office of General Counsel use my draft as the basis document or your memorandum?
I was going to inject the same question, essentially, which is we have presented the Commission with a memorandum that we were asked to provide that identified what we, in the Office of General Counsel at least, thought the Commission, the steps the Commission ought to take in this area, and those that we thought they shouldn't, and those that we thought that we did not take a position on. We've already done so, as you know. We're happy to comment on any additional drafts, but it's a different request entirely, I think, to ask that we essentially take one commissioner's draft and revise it sort of in our view. And I don't know that that's what any particular commissioner wants us to do.
That was not what was being suggested. Commissioner Weintraub, if you want to.
No, I was going to suggest that you take your memorandum and draft it as a I'll defer to you as to whether it should be a proposed rule, a proposed policy on the formatting, and that you could at the same time circulate to the Commission highlighting the differences that you see between this and Commissioner Goodman's proposal. I am not prepared to adopt your proposal, Commissioner Goodman, but I am likely to be prepared to adopt the Council's recommendation. So there will be substantial overlap. And at the end of the day, we'll have a lovely new policy and we'll have a lot more documents on the public record. Which
my proposal's been out for months, but let me just say, you're not going to get an agreement on, for example, number 4 in the General Counsel's memorandum of August 5. I can't speak for other commissioners, but you may have tough sledding getting 4 votes for number 4. And I'm certainly willing to entertain the colloquy we just had with Mr. Calvert, but I'm not prepared to create a major loophole that Office of General Counsel just needs to skip the Secretary in order to make documents private. I think that there needs to be another procedure. I don't know what else there is, Larry, other than the miscellaneous documents that I just picked out two that I thought might actually be helpful for a record.
The miscellaneous documents, and to get to some degree in the weeds, there are some differences on the attachments that I think also they're differences precisely because we have a different approach to you than on number 4, the decline to open a MER, and a slightly different approach, I think, on number 5, pre-RTB notifications.
That other one on number 5?
I may not be looking at the right number because I'm looking at my own notes here. Pre-RTB notifications, we actually agreed with your original proposal, and you added some language to that that is not in our proposal regarding to the authorization of the pre-RTB notifications. And then as I'm reading the reading your document, we would put on only public attachments to RAD and audit referrals. You would put on all of them. We would not put on any attachment to a law enforcement referral, and you would put on all of them. But in both of those cases, only if the commission proceeded to open a MER. In other words, but if it did not, you wouldn't put on a file.
I wouldn't put on the file at all.
Right.
Right. Maybe if you would prepare something. Here's what I can agree with Commissioner Wynn. Prepare something. I think we've defined some disagreements. If you could at least highlight those areas where we've identified the disagreement, I think that's why this discussion was useful, so that commissioners can toggle on or toggle off those points of disagreement. Is there any concern about my prelude to the documents to be released about the statement of policy?
I think the only concern that we had about the prelude, and our understanding from your most recent draft, is that you've not only reverted to sort of the status quo on the FOIA process, but also
on the status quo of the regulation.
Right.
Yes.
I'm
not changing anything.
You're not
here.
Changing any current practice, and neither are you changing any current practice, as we understand it, in terms of our proactive release at the close of a file in
the
terms of
release.
How that document flow works.
For purposes of this policy, status quo is the status quo, whether it's lawful or not.
So the only other concern that we have about the preamble, and we could highlight this. I think that it appeared you may have cribbed some from the 2009 policy statement on First General Counsel's reports. So there's some references to the Commission returning to a prior policy, which we thought were maybe a little confusing because...
I can live with those edits. Yeah. Okay. If you can work in the general framework of the prelude, I can accept those types of edits. Okay? So
I think by consensus... I want to be clear about this. I'm not asking them to edit your document. I am asking them to create the document that they... are prepared to recommend to us of what they think we ought to.
If you want consensus to have them go do it, I'm trying to bring it home. I'm trying to give you, yes, let's have them draft something. Let's have them work within the grain of the structure I have, highlight if they're going to make recommendations contrary to what I've provided. I've already told you I don't agree with number four, for example. Have them highlight those, and I'm trying to get us into a structure to have them draft something that does make their recommendations, that allows us to identify differences, and if you do that, I think we'll have consensus to have Office of General Counsel undertake a redraft of my document.
Well,
or a redraft of the proposed policy. How about that?
The end result, any way you look at it, is going to be whatever four commissioners are willing to agree to release in this expand. We're talking about expanding the categories of documents that are going to be released. So whatever four commissioners agree to release will be released. And, you know, you can't... you know, you may not agree with some of the limitations that we may want to put on some of these documents, but, you know, that's fine. That the default is not that you get to release them on three votes instead of four.
All right. I'm not proposing that we change three versus four votes here today. Is that clear? Yeah. Okay.
Why don't we do as planned and see what General Counsel can come up with that will hopefully bring us closer together and have you, if we can, and then we'll bring it back the next meeting.
Does Larry and Dan, do you have a good understanding of the will of the Commission here, which is to work within the grain of what's extant and what's and merge your recommendations so that Commissioner Weintraub can see your recommendations in a policy format and allow us to then toggle on and off.
What I would propose, whether this is comfortable for the six of you, is that we create a document that identifies the differences. A separate document, standalone, identifies where we see there's a difference. And we just point that out so everybody knows what they are. In writing. And then furthermore, we could offer an edit of your proposal, Commissioner Goodman, that we think would bring your proposal in conforming with where we stand on those differences, but I don't think that's going to satisfy you ultimately. And the alternative would be to draft one that we think would satisfy you, but I don't know that's going to satisfy all of your colleagues. So we could also do sort of a third document, which is like, which lays out OGC's proposal, and then the Commission can deliberate how to get where it wants to go. I'm a little confused, frankly,
if I were undertaking this, I would take my memorandum, make the edits that Commissioner, Commissioner Calvert has recommended, and
thank you. I think,
and provide the document. By the way, you don't have to do it in bullet form. You can do it in another form,
sure.
But and then highlight those that where we've identified the differences, and then we can edit at the table and see where four votes will congeal. I don't mind having you take it and put it in your format, but I don't want to lose my substance. By the way, if you lose my substance, then we'll be back. And you'll be in a 3-3 split, basically, with edits to this document. So I'm trying to get us to a common document, too.
Is that
good? I think so, yes.
Is that good? All right. Thank you. So this item will...
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to come back tomorrow and continue working on this.
If you'd like
to continue the public session until tomorrow.
I think that council, it will take some time for them to prepare the document. And so we're going to continue the matter until the next meeting. Thank you. So there's one further item, and that is Ms. Orrick. Where did it go? Yeah, I knew this was here. Item 9, are there any management or administrative matters the commission needs to discuss today?
There are none.
Okay, thank you very much, Ms. Orrick. That was a nice report. The meeting stands adjourned. All right, we have an executive session.